If you've been told to pull up your socks recently, then make sure it's a pair of RCR socks. Visit www.realitycheck.radio/shop.
Welcome back, everybody. You are listening to the Up Your Brave show with Natalie Cutler-Welsh here on Reality Check Radio. I am so thrilled to be kind of diving deep, really, for my next interview. I'm going to be chatting with Chantal Curlin. We're talking about healing through embodiment, reconnecting with the wisdom of the body after loss and trauma. Welcome to the show, Chantal.
Hello. Thank you for having me, Natalie. So happy to be here.
I'm so happy to connect with you and to hear some of your journey and some of the wisdom you've got to share. For those of you that don't know Chantal, Chantal Curlin is a medicine woman and death and rebirth doula, dedicated to guiding both men and women from the mental mind through somatic heart-led therapy and multidimensional support into the wisdom of the body, embracing the power of the divine feminine. Her work blends soul revival, womb healing, grief support, sound and the holistic body therapies, offering a sanctuary for individuals to reconnect with their essence and navigate transformation. Her deep calling stems from her own personal journey of profound loss and awakening. After the heartbreaking loss of her daughter, she embraced the sacred work of holding space for others during their most challenging moments. She provides intuitive sessions that integrate energy work, sound, massage, and inner guidance to support the body to soften and open. Chantal supports individuals experiencing trauma and grief, as well as life transitions, working with the cycles of birth, death, and rebirth. Alongside this work, she's also founder of the Wild Roots Adventures, a nature play program in Meroe Beach, where she fosters connections between children and nature. She encourages child-led adventurous play and holistic growth. As a mother of four, Chantal is passionate about creating nurturing spaces for healing and connecting to nature. Well, Chantal, you are an ideal guest for my show because we are all about healing and connecting with nature and becoming the best person we can be. And sometimes that means working through some of the things that have happened to us. I would love to start things off and give you the opportunity to share with us a little bit more about your own personal journey, as much as you're comfortable to share.
Yes, well, absolutely. That's my story, I guess, and my journey the sacred work that I do now was from the terrible, terrible heartache of experiencing child loss. And back in 2017, when I discovered my daughter who had drowned in a drowning event. So that catapulted me into profound inner journey inwards of self-discovery and healing. And within that whole time, also navigating the medical system and navigating what there is for women dealing with child loss and grief. And actually, there wasn't anything except for a shitload of pills, which at the time were tools that I needed. But as I was navigating through that loss and pain, there was suppressed grief. There was so much rage and anger and shame attached to not only the grief, but the whole experience of PTSD and living in your mental mind over and over, reenacting, what if I had done this? What if I have done that? And so you actually can go completely mad, which I did. So I had to I broke down completely. And it was in that time of a profound spiritual, I actually experienced a profound spiritual awakening where I felt oneness. And that would be another story because that's a whole nother experience. But it was what opened me up, I would say, into knowing that there's more. There's more than the density. There's more than this pain and suffering, that we're not here. I am not here to be in pain, to not be able to be a mother to my children, or I had two at the time, or be a wife to my husband because I was drowning in so much grief. And I was so lucky that a beautiful embodied practitioner had come into my life, and I was able, I had the capacity, I had the time to be able to dive deep into myself, into my psyche, into my soul, and bring those fractured pieces back together. And that's when I ignited and woke up parts of myself, my medicine. And I knew that when this happened many years ago, that I always had this gut feeling like, I'm here to like change this. I'm here to help other women. We're not meant to suffer. Like, my daughter's legacy, she lives through me. Her voice and her wildness is me. So that's like my biggest message and my core belief is, you know, with the work I do with allowing people to the death and rebirth is and the connection with the nature is learning to actually let go and then grow from that pain, to allow our suffering and our pain to become our compost and create richer soil to grow from that. And we're always cycling through death, rebirth and death all the time. And that ignited my work, my medicine, my intuitive gifts. I was always a very intuitive, spiritual child as a young girl, very empathic, but I didn't know what that was then. I just thought there was something wrong with me and I would take on everybody's energy. But then I learned to harness my own gifts and go, wow, these are actually, which most we all have, these beautiful gifts. So the whole experience has been, you know, my own healing, which continues and unfolds all the time. It doesn't end. But being able to actually embody it and bring my medicine into my work, into my hands-on or remote work that I do with women and now men and children as well. Yeah. Yeah. So it's a lot. But it's been my deepest calling, and I just it's always evolving my work and changing.
Well, I wanted to start off by sending you big love, because I imagine as much as the years go by, it's still very close to home and close to your heart. And to any other listeners out there who have experienced child loss, whether that be an illness or an accident or whatever it might be, I'm sending love to you, because it's just, I think, one of those things every parent fears. And to be able to live through that and to be able to come to a point where you can actually turn around and help others is so admirable, Chantal. It's amazing.
Thank you so much. And it's like, I speak to a lot of beings about, you know, it always being, for the rest of my life, you know, I'm always going to have this grief, but it's like my grief is my most sacred. It's like, I love my grief. It's so sacred to me. It's my connection to her. But what my grief used to be was a lot more than just grief. It was all the other energies and unhealed trauma that was attached to my grief. But I've allowed to be able to clear the shame and the end, all the other pieces, and reclaim so much of myself back that I can hold my daughter closer to me. It's like she's closer now than she ever was. Like, the more I could allow the density to fall away, her light comes closer and I feel her closer. And it's the most beautiful thing that when I let her go, she got closer, if that makes sense.
And even that, what you just said, the concept of learning to love your grief. Oh my goodness. Are there some words of wisdom, or maybe words of warning, like what not to do, that you can share with any parents out there who are really caught up in that grief, as you would be, but how can they learn to love their grief?
For me, it really started with forgiveness. But actually before forgiveness, it was feeling the pain. It was allowing yourself to feel the guilt. How could we all experience loss in different ways, but there's always a huge amount of guilt, and feel it, feel the rage, feel the anger, whatever it was that was your experience, you have to feel it. You cannot avoid those feelings. When we embody the feelings, we allow that to move through the body, it alchemizes, it changes shape, it changes form, and we can let that grief and that pain become our own medicine. And then we have to bring forgiveness to that pain. and love to that pain and self-love. And that it was from that process that I was able to then love my grief and honor my experience and see my experience not as an accident, but as a deep learning, as a something that I believe as human beings, we don't experience things. There's no accidents. It's like we've chosen this as a karmic pattern. And for whatever reason, this has come in from my karmic pain or maternal lines from my lineage. So I do a lot of work around the womb and womb healing and ancestral healing. So when we can end those cycles and bring love and healing, we're not only healing our experiences, we're helping heal generational trauma. And so it's not just about forgiveness. Forgiveness is beautiful, but if we're not feeling it and integrating it, no change can happen. It's got to be felt. And as humans, we tend to live from the mind up. And that's the work that I do now, is like really guiding my clients to move from the mental mind into the heart. And often our hearts are so closed because when we've been hurt, we retract, and it's not safe to have our heart open. So when we start to peel the walls or the bars or the, you know, whatever the cages we have around our heart, when we can allow that to start to open, then we can allow the light out and the light in, and real healing and transformation comes. And then we start to listen to the body's whispers. We get away from the mental mind, and then the heart and then our womb and our gut will start communicating with us. And then we start remembering. And then we go, oh, I remember. And bringing in, and I work very deeply with the inner child as well, because often when we go through trauma, our inner child will retract and close off. And or if we've had past trauma as young children, which most of us have, and it doesn't even have to be a big trauma, just a little trauma, that can shut us down. And it's just not safe to be open. So my work is really about guiding beings back into the safety of the inner child and the deep holding of the heart, connecting back to the gut and the womb. Yes, and then returning out and reclaiming our energy as well through the sacral center. So working a lot with the chakras. But yeah, that was a long answer. But yeah, it's feeling it, forgiving it, allowing it to let go. And that to me is like the death process as well. Yeah, because it's painful. And then we rebirth from there when we've alchemized. Yes.
I think it's so good to highlight that, because a lot of people would have heard of the value of gratitude and the value of forgiveness, but you can't do forgiveness if you haven't felt the feelings. Is that what I'm hearing from you?
Yes, 100%. Yes. And then we can bypass a lot when I actually did it for a while. I remember on my healing journey, I read a book and I'm like, and I did affirmations and I'm going to forgive myself. But I had this burning rage and this hate. And I'm like, that's an energy. That's a life thread that's still running in my nervous system. And so that's a trigger response. So it's like if we can cognitively say, oh, I forgive you. But if we haven't really embodied that or really felt that, and forgiven ourselves or felt that deep grief from within and let it roar and opened our mouths and our body to feel it, is so important.
Feel it and to express it. Let's talk about, so the topic today, just to remind our listeners, the topic today is healing through embodiment, reconnecting with the wisdom of the body after loss and trauma. Can you walk us through a few different ways that people could do that? What are some ways that they can, I think you already touched on a few, but let's just really step by step, a few ways that people can reconnect with their wisdom, the wisdom within their body. Because you talked about how they get so stuck in their head and we're connecting them to their heart. How can we do it?
So when I first started, before I even went and saw a body worker or learnt a practitioner, I spent years, probably 3 years, doing my own, like learning to go within. And it started actually with just sitting in stillness, turning all the television off, all the distractions, all the news, all the outside noise, and creating space just to be with myself, to hold my body and to deeply listen. Meditation, just stilling the mind, noticing when the mind would go off into crazy thoughts and bringing them back. That's just a thought, bringing my awareness back to that one present moment and noticing how crazy and all over the place my head was. So that was the first thing. I used actually guided meditations that I would just find online, and it really helped me just practice the muscle in my mind. Nature was also my biggest. I spent, before I even knew what things like ice baths were or breath work, I was already doing it in my home because I couldn't actually leave my house. I had such bad anxiety and depression. I would just go into the forest, hop in freezing cold water, and then that brings you straight back into that, into the body, because you're in the body, you're not thinking, you're right there. I would go into the forest and connect with trees. I would walk. I would scream. I would allow sound to come through. It was, and just allowing the pure emotion to come through my body. Often people don't like to be seen. They don't like to be seen crying. There's a lot of shame in crying. I'm so sorry. I don't mean to cry. Have you seen people do that? I'm so sorry. It's like, so if that's still a really big thing, because it's not societally acceptable to have a freak out or cry, because everyone wants to fix you. Automatically, people just want to fix you. But actually, when someone's grieving, or if you're grieving, you need space to just be in that. And if you have a support person around you who doesn't try to fix you, that's amazing. But just have someone to be there with you while you allow the real emotion to come through. But for me, it's just having good space holding, connecting with nature, getting outside, getting away from the noise, coming back to the body, and just returning back to yourself, because there are so much external things happening everywhere all the time. But really, it's all the answers lie within ourselves. I truly believe that. Yeah.
Well, yeah, and it's interesting, isn't it? Because you mentioned earlier in terms of the navigating the medical system, I think you said, and you said what they often do is give you a pile of pills. And I imagine when someone has been through massive trauma, whether it is child loss or something else, it is tempting to numb yourself out with pills that have been given to you. So it's not like you're being naughty, like they've literally been prescribed.
Yes, yeah.
How can people, so what I'm loving about this conversation is we're just planting a few seeds for people about more natural ways. And most of them are free ways, you know, go into the forest, actually scream, release this energy from within your body, getting into cold water. These are things that people can, they are accessible for people to do to bring them back into their body. What have you noticed when people start doing these things, what we're calling embodiment? How can you notice the shifts that are happening for them?
So your frequency changes. So the minute you change the frequency in your body, say you're having a really bad grief wave, and I call them waves when they come, especially if you're going through really heavy grief, they'll hit you. If it's quite soon on, they'll hit you all the time. They'll just keep hitting you, and then it just takes you out like a tsunami. But it's in those times, it's very easy to get stuck and angry, and you turn into resentment, or you might get really angry at whatever happened or at yourself. And so that's a live energy. It's okay, what am I going to do with this rage right now? What could be another healthier way to remove this rage? Okay, I need to express this. This is when hitting pillows, screaming into a pillow, putting the pillow, if you've got a family and you can't get into nature, getting a big pillow over your face and just screaming into it, letting it move through the body, talking to someone and getting it, someone who hold space for you to say, actually, can you say nothing and just let me speak? Just let me speak. You don't need to fix me, but I just really need to let this go. Because often when I remember working through rage, that's when I would want to go to numb it. So I'd go to alcohol or something just to numb it because it's too painful. So it's like noticing those triggers. If you're feeling really, oh gosh, what's another one? Depressed and you can't get out of bed, and it's just really learning to listen to your body. What could you do now? Put on a meditation. Change it up. If you're on your phone all the time, it's not good. music frequency, putting on beautiful music can help change your frequency straight away. So it's just about knowing what energies you're in and the energies around you all the time as well. And note if you're in a toxic environment, it can be very difficult to navigate these big energies. And often though, like I always say that I actually needed those pills for those first week or so. I needed them. I don't think I would have survived at that time. Anyone telling me all this, I wouldn't have. Sometimes we do need a tool to get us through. Then we got to put the tool back in the box. Unfortunately, there's no putting the tool back in the box. It's like we depend on it and we live by it for the rest of our lives. And that's when it's like finding that balance, you know? Yeah.
Well, thank you for acknowledging that. That's right. So we don't want to, you know, you talked about shame and how there's a lot of shame and grief. And it's like, we don't want to add shame on top of shame.
No.
Right?
Yes.
And I remember, you know, when I wrote a parenting book many, many years ago, and my motto was always do what works for you. Mm-hmm. Not so much what everyone else is doing, but for some, like you said, you know, I really needed the medication in those early months, mm-hmm. but then knowing when to put it in the box. Mm-hmm. Something else you mentioned about holding space and just listen to me and don't fix me. I think for those of us listening that would, you know, be in that support role, meaning we know someone who's navigating big trauma. Mm-hmm. We probably all do at the moment, even. Mm-hmm. How can we be a better friend or family member to someone who's really experiencing a lot of those waves all the time?
Yeah. Well, there's one big thing I always say is never tell someone, how are you? Because they're horrible and they're dying inside and they will unconsciously go, oh, I'm okay. And don't do that. Say, hey, it's really good to see you. It's so good to see you. And I really didn't like it when people asked me how I was, because I didn't know how to answer without like destroying them and going, do you really want to know how I feel? Because I don't think you have that capacity to actually handle what I'm about to say. And when holding space for someone who's navigating grief is to just allow them to speak. Try not to project your own experience onto them. Or for example, if someone's like, oh, I know how you feel. My dad died last year and I know and then what you're doing is you're completely downplaying or changing what they're trying to express. But actually we just need to hold them in their own grief and their own experience. So just hold, like I always hold my heart, I hold my body, which shows me that I feel you. I can't fix you, but I can feel you and I'm here for you. And just look them in the eye and hold. And if you need to cry, let the tears come and just be there and just nod. And I feel you. Absolutely. Is there anything I can do to support you right now? Would you like to go for a walk? But don't, you know, anything, but don't try to fix them, because only we can actually fix ourselves. No one can do that for us. Yeah. But what I needed more than anything back then, because I actually felt a lot of people, my friends, distanced themselves from me because they didn't know how to handle it. But what I really wanted was someone just, okay, hey, Chantel, do you want me to pick you up and let's go for a walk? Do you want to just sit? I'll just sit with you. You know, But a lot of the time my pain would scare people. And I noticed that too, because as society, we haven't really embodied our full spectrum of loss or grief and we don't know how to hold that. It's changing now. It's definitely changing now. And there are beautiful people who can honor that. But yeah, that's what I feel. Mm.
Such a good reminder, because it's so easy for people to jump in and say, oh, yeah, I remember when this similar thing happened to me. And it's like, don't. Yeah. Oh, it's so tempting to do, you know, and even the go for a walk, that's helpful for me. Mm-hmm. I have a friend whose mother died, very tragic circumstances, like a home invasion in South Africa, very intense. And when other people are like, oh yeah, my mom died, you know, last year, it's like, it's not, don't even, right? You can't, just don't do that. Just listen to her. But even for me, I often would text her, and I don't know if I did do the how are you. I probably did do the how are you. But I would say, hey, let me know if you want to go for a walk, or we can go to a cafe. But I never did the next step, which you mentioned, which is, hey, how about I come over in 20 minutes and I take, like, kind of more direct rather than let me know if you want to go sometime, because she's never going to message me and say, let's go for a walk.
You don't ask for help. Back then, I didn't even know what asking for help was. I've learned now with the work that I do, I know how to receive, but most people don't know how to receive and we feel bad. And it's like, actually, I'm coming over. And if you're a mother, like I had two children back then and just doing things like the housework was just awful. I mean, I could barely get dressed, but just come over and just like, I'm coming to do the dishes. I'm going to come and put the laundry on. I don't care what you say.
Yeah.
I'm going to cook dinner. Often you get bombarded with all this food, but it's actually getting in there hands-on, cleaning, doing the everyday mundane things, especially for mothers. Yeah. That is just so debilitating and horrible. Yeah.
Okay, that is so helpful for, you know, what I'm hearing from you is kind of be a little bit, I'm going to call it more bossy, but just more assertive and direct. I'm coming over, I'm going to do your dishes. I won't take no for an answer. You can just have a nap. I'll watch the kids or whatever.
Yeah. Okay. But also really feeling like maybe they actually don't want to see anyone, but so you've got to, you know, like just there's a fine line, but I know for me, I just didn't even have the capacity to think back then. Mm. It was like, oh, I don't know. It's a lot.
We would love to hear from you if you're listening and you'd love to share some things maybe that you did to help navigate your own grief or help to get you back into your body instead of just being in your head and your thoughts. You can send us a text, 2057. You can send us an email, inbox@realitycheck.radio. I wanted to ask you, kind of changing gears a little bit, I would love to hear more about this work that you're doing, Wild Roots Adventures, getting kids into nature. Tell me about the benefits. I mean, I kind of think it's some of them are obvious, but I'd love to hear from you, from what you've seen in all the kids you've worked with. What are some of the benefits of getting young children into nature? And I think you talked about child-led play as well.
So my biggest thing is noticing that children become very codependent in school, almost like we follow a lot. We do what everyone else is doing. We have to morph or wear different marks to try to fit in. Our dim will light. There's so many children in a classroom and every child is unique. Every child has a different personality. And often we will put on different masks or dim our lights to fit in if we're too much, if we're too loud, especially for little boys who are very energetic and are moving all the time. They're told to sit down and be still. So what I notice with my work is just allowing children to have space to be them, to be seen and who they are and all their uniqueness. So I always open up our space with a circle where we share and we talk about all these things that we're actually talking about, and that they know that this is a place where everything is welcome. So watching them, but the children who are mostly told from teachers that they're the problem children will come into my space and I'm like, well, all I see is little leaders and there's nothing wrong. There's no behavioral issues. I haven't had many situations where I've had really, really, you know, badly behaved children. They, when they've got space and they get to drop into their bodies and then they move from a place of being bored, which they do in nature. What are we doing? I'm bored. I'm like, I don't know, what should we do? And then they get into this place of creativity and then they start to build and then they start to create and then they're moving and climbing and they're in their bodies. And it's the most beautiful thing to see children in that primal innateness and listening to. I don't really plan our days. We listen, we look at the sea, we look at the tides, we look at the weather, we follow our intuition, how are we feeling in our bodies? So bringing them into their own innate wisdom of their own sensory bodies with nature has been huge. And I think that, I mean, I think schools should just have that every week for children, one day a week anyway. Like, it's just ridiculous. It's not.
Well, I feel like you are raising the future generation of more embodied, connected individuals, and especially men, boy, future men, which makes me so grateful and so excited. But it's different than just letting kids play outside, because you're, I imagine, facilitating this level of conversation with them. What are some of the questions when you do this opening circle? What are some of the questions that you ask them?
Pretty basic. You don't want to have little boys in a circle too long because they just can't sit still for very long. And that's okay. But it's just, how are you feeling in your body today? What is alive with you right now? So they don't have to think of a thing. It's like, whoa, I'm actually really tired. I'm like, okay, do you want to have something to eat? Oh, I'm super excited. I'm got all this energy. I'm like, let's do a game to get us moving. And I'll notice that most of the boys who are normally always on the same energy. It's interesting. And then that's how we can navigate what we're going to do. Are we going to go on a big hike today? These boys are all antsy and their energy scattered. I'm like, I need to move. Or if I've noticed they've had a massive week and they're tired and they've all expressed that. And I'm like, we're going to move really slowly today. And actually these kids just need to be, they need to be still. So feeling what's alive in their body. And then also gratitude. So at the end of the day, it's like, what was challenging for you? What was your highlight? And what triggered you is always a good one. And so they learn about if someone, and then we'll speak into why maybe it was a kid, another child who triggered them. And then what doesn't happen at school is we don't get to the root cause of why there might be dynamics happening. And so we'll move into what's causing that dynamic instead of saying, hey, you're bad and you're going to detention or you need to sit over there. It's like, how can we meet together and figure out why you two aren't working well together? And then there's normally something quite simple. So it's to be really seen and heard and held. Pretty simple.
Simple, but so different than the usual. Like the usual would be, how was your day? Or even, you know, if you do family dinners and you go around the table, they might say, what was your highlight? What was the low light? But that's different than what you're asking, which is what triggered you today? It's very different languaging. It's a different energy. It's a different level of what I like to call inner standing. And that's what excites me about these boys that you're helping to raise. Because if they can, rather than, oh, it was a crappy day because someone was rude to me, it's like, what triggered you? Ooh, curious. I wonder why, you know, how did that feel for you when they said that? You know, and then you go deeper and deeper. I think this is so exciting. What age are we talking? How old are these kids?
So it's age 6 to 12. I've got some 13-year-olds, although an exception, my 3-year-old comes. She's been coming since she was 6 months old and she's amazing, but mainly six years.
It's so incredible. I mean, I don't know if you know this, but my audience usually knows I used to be an Outward Bound instructor, you know, back in the day, and so I would facilitate reflection, you know, using the outdoors as a medium for personal development and discovery. But this is with teenagers and adults, right? And so the fact that you're doing it with young kids, I feel like you can never be too young and you can never be too old to experience things in nature, but then to draw wisdom from the experience, not just have the actual experience.
And what I love with the much younger ones is a little bit more challenging with the older ones, 11 up, but the younger ones, like we do plant communication. So sit with the plant, feel it. And what's it saying? Just trust what you get. And it's always the most beautiful, beautiful response. So like really learning to tune into the energies of the plant kingdom or the unseen realms, which I get a lot of very intuitive, gifted children come in and they like these like, blow my mind of what they can see and perceive. And they come to my space and they feel normal, but in school they feel abnormal. They feel like they're weird, but then they come here and they're like, because I see the beauty and magic and everything. And I'm like, yeah, absolutely. And once you validate a child who sees a fairy, then they're like, oh yeah, you know, or see something or feel something. And you're like, oh yeah, absolutely. Oh no, I saw it. Have you seen that fantail's been following us the whole way? Or do you see the pattern in that rock? Can you feel the energy of that driftwood? They're like, oh yeah, that feels like a dragon, or oh, I can feel this. Like they can tune into the unseen realm so much easier than we can, but they just haven't had anyone saying that that's a thing, you know? Mm-hmm. But once you give them the space to tune into their innate wisdom and gifts, that excites me so much. And that's what I'd love my program to morph more and more into, which I feel it will as humanity awakens and evolves more. Yes. Multidimensional and energy work will become more normal and children can be opening up their telepathy and their gifts. And that excites me. Yeah.
Well, I think there'll be some people wondering about sending their kids. I know you're based in Motowai, so it's more of a geographical thing. But hey, if I'm sure hopefully similar things are available in different parts of New Zealand as well that people can tap into. I know there's nature schools and things like that.
It's developing. People have been called all around New Zealand to create these spaces now. So it's really beautiful.
No, amazing. And I know we're on audio, but for those of you, you might be able to catch the video or at least see the photo. Chantal is beautiful, big brown curly hair, flowy floral dress. I can just imagine you walking through the forest with these kids, listening to them and witnessing them as they talk about, you know, the fairies and look at the plants. Such amazing work. I would love to ask you the up your brave question. If you were to truly up your brave, and here's the new twist, everybody. If you were to truly up your brave in 2025, so now we're looking ahead, what would that look like to you? What would you do or not do?
For me, it's trusting my innate wisdom and my voice, like more than I ever have before. Like there is so much guidance coming through me in my work right now, and to bring that more into the collective. So I'm not allowing the energies of fear to distort my knowing. That's what I'm moving into, and I can feel. Yeah.
Amazing. So powerful. Yeah. What about what is coming up for you in the coming weeks and months, and how can people connect with you and find out more online?
Absolutely. So I have a retreat immersion coming up on 16th of February. So it will be a mother's embrace. So it's for women. It'll be a dive into connecting with the womb, with our multidimensional body, ancestral healing, and working in the into deep ancestral programmings within the body. And also, that's all I have actually. For now, I've, other than, you know, Christmas with all my family, which is a lot in itself, you can get me on Facebook and Instagram. Yeah.
And on your name, is it Chantal Curlin?
It's just, Chantal Curlin. And my website is chantalcurlin.com. And I have I'm just creating these beautiful gift vouchers for beautiful healing sessions out here in Midawai, which can be a really beautiful gift as well for Christmas. I often get so many women come in and say, oh my gosh, every woman needs to experience this. And I really would love my mother, especially when we're diving into a maternal healing and our maternal lines. Every woman's like, I want my mother to experience this. So yeah, I'm working on that. But mainly Instagram and Facebook at the moment.
All right. So I'm going to spell that for everyone. So it's Chantal. So Chantal. Curlin.com. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay. Brilliant. And for those that don't know, where is Midawai? I would say, is it 40 minutes north of Auckland or northwest?
It is. It's, about 40 minutes northwest. Once you get to Kumu, it's about 20-minute drive from Kumu. Beautiful beach. If you've never been, you need to come, especially if you live in Auckland. It's absolutely a beautiful place to come.
It's there you go.
Surf beach too.
It is. It's so stunning. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, that's amazing. Thank you so much for sharing that with us, and your retreat, the Mother's Embrace Retreat, sounds amazing. Before we wrap things up, Chantal, is there anything else you would love to share with our audience today about the topic of healing through embodiment?
Just trust in the path, and there's no looking back, only forward when it comes to healing. It's just allowing the journey and going with the flow, the flows of the waters and the flows of the tears, allowing the tears to come, allowing the emotions to come and just flow. And the minute we start trying to swim back upstream, it's just going to become much harder. So allow, embrace the journey with love for yourself.
Beautiful. Yeah. Thank you so much, Chantal, for joining us today.
Thank you.
And thank you, everyone, for listening.
Thank you for tuning in to RCR Reality Check Radio. If you like what you're listening to, dislike what you're listening to, either way, we want to hear from you. Get in touch with us now. You can text us with your message to 2057. That's 2057. Or email us at inbox@realitycheck.radio. We would love to hear from you. So connect with us today.